Good morning. Please be stand. Hold your hands. Touch each other. It's in the book of the Matthew, chapter number 18. It says, when we touch and agree, and then the Spirit of the Lord comes in us. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you and we touch and agree in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask your mercy and grace and we ask your presence, O Lord. Teach us and give us your revelation. We empty ourselves, you fill us with your power, wisdom, and your word, O Lord, and give us your divine power. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Please be seated. Thank you. God bless you. Good morning to all of you. It was always good and gracious to be in the presence of the Lord. It's always dangerous when we are not in the presence of the Lord. So when we are not in the presence of the Lord, we are in the dangerous place. You know, evil can come and track us. Evil can destroy us. But we come into the presence of God, then we have a mercy, a grace, a shelter, a hiding place. Are we standing on a rock and we giving him a glory? Amen? So he is our shelter. He is our hiding place. He is our Lord Jesus Christ who gave his own life and shed his own blood for us that we can have a life and life for everlasting. That's what God claims. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So today's message is a face-to-face meeting with God. Before I continue with the message, I'm so humble my heart and I'm so thankful for all the leadership of the church and especially thankful for the pastor who always give me a chance that I can come into the family that I can preach and teach the gospel. You know, it is always wonderful to come and proclaim the word of God because Jesus gave us the greatest commandment, go and preach and teach and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it is always good to be in the presence of God. So he is always good today and forever. Amen? So, a face-to-face meeting with God. I think everybody wants to have a meeting face-to-face. For example, if you are in your family, you say to your wife, honey, can we have a meeting face-to-face? I want to talk to you because it's good to have a communication face-to-face that we don't have any gap in ourselves or misunderstandings in ourselves. And then God give you the blessings of children. And then you call your son or your daughter and say, son, can you come? I want to have a meeting with you. Can we go and join in a lunch or a dinner or a breakfast? Whatever it is good, we will going to meet and have a meeting face to face. So God is our Heavenly Father and he always desires us to have a meeting with him face to face. And when we come to him every Sunday morning, are we prepared to see God face to face? Are we prepared to say him, yes, my Heavenly Father, I am here. I am here to glorify your name. I am here to honor you. I am here to bow down. I am here to worship you. I am here to glorify you. I'm going to sing aloud as I can because you are my Savior. You are my everlasting Father. You give me the life that I even don't deserve it, but through Jesus Christ, I have it. So that the passion we should have it to meet face to face with God. God is always looking towards his own people. In the Bible, it says he runs his eyes all over the world and he looks, is there any righteous for me? The righteous cried and God hear his prayer. So a face to face meeting is very important. And then we're going to read. Before I go, I'm going to read from the book of Ecclesiastic, chapter number very first and verse number 9 and 10. And it says, whatever been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. You know, a few weeks ago, there was an announcement that iPhone new is coming. The new thing is coming. Look at the Bible, what it says. There is nothing new under the heaven. I can explain you. You are wearing your shoes. It's taken from the cow. It's already there. It was taken just from the cow. If you're wearing a suit on your back, that is already been taken from the sheep. It's already been there. It's already made. And that's what the Word of God says. There is nothing under the sun that can say it is new. So all those things that God gave you, the wisdom, the billions of stars are there. The billions of galaxies are there. Whenever you find another galaxy, I was reading in the news that they have found so many galaxies. There are millions of galaxies, 500,000 million galaxies are there. So soon as you got the knowledge, that is the new things for you. So that's why the book of Hosea, chapter number 4, verse number 6 says that my people are dying because of the lack of the knowledge. So the knowledge is very important, and that's what the book of Proverbs comes into the action. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4 says, seek what you seek, the knowledge, understanding, and the wisdom. You know, our problem is this, we always go and grab the wisdom, but we don't forget about that. What is the first step? First step is knowledge. Second step is understanding. And third step is the wisdom. When we apply these things with these steps, then we will going to able to do all things what God requires to us to do. So that's why Solomon, who was the most wisdom person, lived on this earth before Jesus Christ. He says, there is nothing new. So there is nothing new. Whatever you are looking at it, it's come into your knowledge now. I was telling earlier service that if Joshua has a knowledge to make a plane, that he can put everybody into the plane and they can move into the new place where it is the promised land. If Moses has that wisdom and power and the knowledge, he can make a plane and he can put everybody in that plane and bring them into the promised land. So they don't have that knowledge at that time. But the knowledge and increasement was given for the end of the time. That's what the book of Joel says, second chapter. That all the knowledge will going to come when the Holy Spirit going to come. And earlier I was sitting in the Bible study. They were talking about the Holy Spirit. They were talking about the holiness. So the Holy Spirit is giving you, in the book of John, chapter number 14 to 16, is the study of Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will going to come and teach you and reveal my secret things to you and guide you and show you all the secrets what is in that. And that is all belongs when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, when you come face to face your Heavenly Father, when you come into the meeting, when you come into the understanding, when you come into the knowledge, when you come into the wisdom power, when you come into the realm of Holy Spirit, when you come into the communication of God, when you come and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to sing and rejoice in it. And I'm going to be glad that He has given us a day that we can worship Him. We can praise Him. You know, He has created all the days, but one day, the day, very first day of the week, we come and we glorify Him. We say Him, thank you, God, that you have given us another week, that you have given us another day, that you have given us another thing to think about, that you are great. Your salvation is great. All that I am looking at is your glory, is your grace, is your mercy, that I am still alive. So next is this. In the book of Genesis, I'm going to start how we can start a meeting with face to face with God. That's how our forefathers started. Abraham started the same thing. Abraham, the word of God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I need your offering and I need a burnt offering and I need to have that from you personally. That's how we come and we honor. When you come to worship God, you honor Him when you give Him. So he asked Abraham, well, you come and give your only son to me. And that's what that Genesis 22nd chapter is the picture of crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It was the first revelation given by God the Father to Abraham. Think about that I'm going to send my only son into the world and he will going to die for whole the world. So in this story, Abraham took the wood and his son. But while they were going, they were stopped and he said to his servant, stay here, me and my son will be back. That was the great faith confession in that we will come and see you. Even though he was going to sacrifice his own son, but he believed that God can raise the dead people. God has the life. He can give me again the new son. So he told his servants that we will come and see you again. So he took Isaac. Isaac took the woods and he carried the knife and the fire with him. So while they were traveling towards that mountain to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac start communicating with his father. The communication comes between father and son. That is the face-to-face meeting you started with that. And he was asking a question. The question is this: Father, we have a wood and we have a fire, but we don't have the lamb. So Abraham answered and said, my son, God will going to provide for himself. Yahweh, in Hebrew it says, Yahweh Yireh will going to provide. Jehovah Jireh will going to provide for that. So that was the communication. So if you see the communication between that, there is the communication, there is about the lamb. But God said to Abraham, if you continually reading this chapter, God did not provide a lamb. He provided a ram. So after the early service, somebody asked me, what is the difference between ram and the lamb? You know, the lamb is the baby one. You know, always a kid. And the ram is always a father from where the child is born. So the ram was God the Father himself. And he told Abraham in 22nd chapter that I will going to provide for the sacrifice. And Abraham answered to his son that God will going to provide a lamb, not a ram. Even though Abraham was a prophet, but he did not know the secret of God. God has provided a ram. If you continually read that chapter, it says that God provided a ram. Ram mean God the Father himself. And he says there is a place that there is a place far off here. And in the Hebrew term, it says that I will going to provide a ram in a future. So that is the rabbinical study says that he will going to provide a lamb in a future. That's why the book of John, chapter very first, says, in I think verse number 14, that the word became flesh. And then in 29th verse, it says, very first chapter in the John, it says, this is the Lamb of God who came, and he will going to take away our sins. So John testified it, that this is the Lamb of God. So when God appeared to Abraham, he appeared as a ram that I will going to provide in a future a lamb. So God himself said that covenant with Abraham. So that is the revelation Abraham got when you come into the presence of God and start having meeting with face-to-face God. God give you the revelation. Abraham got the first revelation. Then we go into the next one, the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Before I touch this one, this is the second time incident took place between God and Moses. So Moses had the contract between God and Moses was before they met, was in Exodus 24. Exodus 24 says, God call Moses, come and I will give you the law. The law was given by God to Moses in Exodus 24. Exodus 24, God said that he wrote the law with his finger. All the law was written by God's finger. And if you read carefully, Exodus 24 says, when Moses came to God to meet face to face with God, there was thundering, there was a shaking, there was a loud voice, and there was a cloud, and there was a voice came from heaven. So all these things were happening, and still he was asking over here in Exodus 33 and 34. Moses' request was this: I want to see your glory. Even though he has already seen God's glory, the finger of God wrote the book of laws for him. And then voice came from heaven and thundering and all those things, and the fire came and everything was there and the smoke was coming out. If you see in the book of Exodus chapter number 24, it's mentioned all those things over there. And in Exodus 33 and 34, Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord is the Lord. In your presence, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So that is the promise of God, that I will have a compassion, I will have a mercy, and I will want to show to whom I want to show myself. That's why Jesus said in John, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things shall be added unto you." It's also said in Matthew. It's also said in Luke. So it's all about that we should seek first. So Moses was seeking the glory of God that he can get the revelation. If you need a revelation, then you have to seek his glory, and then he will going to show you the revelation. What the revelation Moses got? Moses got the revelation that all five books, the first five books are the revelation that go and teach this law of my people and tell them to follow this law that you become holy, that you can stand in my presence. So that was the law was given to Moses at that place. First, Abraham got the law that my son is coming. I don't need your son's offering. I will provide for myself my offering. The ram came and told him. And that is the Abraham's revelation. Moses got the revelation that keep this law, and if you keep this law, then you'll be holy. But my son is coming. My son is coming. So the next one, the same incidents happen in the book of Kings. 1 Kings 19th chapter, verse number 11 and 12. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and a powerful wind torn the mountain and apart, the shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So the point is this, that when you want to have a meeting face to face with God, you have to choose a place. And place means that God has the name of that place that Jehovah Jireh provides. So when you see the place name like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shishkenu, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, these are the all names. So when God comes, he makes his presence, and that place becomes his name place. That's why he says, "I am the king of heaven," because heaven belongs to him, because his name stays over there. And when he says that the earth is mine, the earth is also his, because his name is there and his glory shows everything. So Elijah was also saying, "Show me your glory." And then when the glory came, if you see that the wind was there, the fire was there, the voice was there, and all those things were there, and then he scared and everything. And Moses also scared, and Elijah also scared, Abraham also scared. When God talks, he scared the people, because when you are not ready, when you are not in the holiness, when you're not in that preparation, and same thing happened when Jesus was praying in Luke chapter number 9. Jesus was praying, the same thing happened, and the things were changed. His clothes were changed. If you see that Moses' clothes were changed, Elijah's cloth was changed, his clothes was changed. So the same thing happened to Jesus. Jesus' face was changed, the cloth was changed. That was when you come face to face God, he changes you upside out. He changes you everything out. You know, I was also teaching about why did Mary did not recognize Jesus when he was risen from the death. Anybody has any clue? Why did Mary did not recognize Jesus when he risen up? Well, the first lady was Mary who has encounter with Jesus. Anybody has that clue? Because Jesus changed. If you read in Revelation, he says that his hair was like a snow, white like a snow. So the transfigure actually took place after the resurrection. He was completely changed. His face and his body and his hair was changed into completely white. He became adult, a complete person who can think like an older person. So that's why Mary could not recognize Jesus at that time. And if you see in when Jesus was going on the Emmaus road, there was two disciples. They were going through that road. And they even couldn't recognize Jesus the same because Jesus was changed. So the first thing when you come into the presence of God, you change yourself. Your thoughts are changed. Your body changed. Your things, everything changed because you are not thinking in the same worldly thing. You change in the heavenly realm because you come into the thinking of God. So when they got into that position, Moses got that position, Abraham got that position, Elijah got that position. So soon as you got that position, the revelation came. So when Jesus was on that mountain, these two prophets came. Moses came because Moses received the law from God. And Jesus was thanking Moses. Moses, Mo, thank you very much. You did a great job. You lead my people. You teach my people. And I salute you and I thank you. Now it's my turn. And then he moved to Elijah. And he says, Elijah, you are representing the prophets. All prophets always come and prophesy. You have already prophesied about me that I am coming, that I am coming. So now I am here. Thank you. Now it's my turn. I will going to take it over. That's why the book of Matthew chapter number 5, it says that I am here to fulfill all the law and all the scriptures. I am here to fulfill that. And that's why he said, thank you very much. You did your great work. Now it's my turn. I'm going to take it over. And I'm going to die for this world. And I'm going to reconcile them. And I will going to bring them back to God. And I will going to bring them back into the presence of the Lord. And they will going to have a meeting like you have a meeting face to face God. And they will going to come to my presence. And I will going to teach them in a different way. In your Old Testament, you pray like, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But now my people going to pray like this, our Father, who it in heaven, I will give them that power to come there to become into the new covenant, and that new covenant give you the rights to call your Father, my Father. That's why he says, our Father. It's not my Father. It's everybody Father. He says that I will going to give you the new covenant, the new command, the new way to pray to our Father. So he made us a connection with God, which was broken into the first place in the book of Genesis, where Adam sinned and broke his relationship. He couldn't have that glory. He couldn't have that relationship with God. The Bible says God comes into the evening time and he talk with and he spend with time with Adam and Eve. But when they sin, they broke that relationship. Jesus came between us and make the connection, made us to be connect with Jesus Christ. That's why the reconciliation comes into the action, that he connected us with God the Father. That's why he taught his disciple, when you pray like this, our Father. So this revelation was given to them. But you know, before this revelation, it comes into disciple were also asking the question about that. And what is the question? They went to Jesus and said, why don't we build 3 altars or 3 temples over here and we worship here? And the voice came from heaven. Then the voice came, this is my son. Listen to him what he says. I have glorified him. I have given him. So this is our time. This is our time to say, our Father, you are in heaven. We come into your presence in Jesus' name. When you come every Sunday to take part in that, you come face to face. How you come face to face with Jesus or with God, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, you come over here and you partake in God's body and you take part in Jesus' blood and you come together and you have a great communication with God. You heard the Word of God. That is the meeting face to face. So that's why God is saying, this is the great revelation that I have given to my church. I have given them the passion. I have given them the gratitude. I have given them everything what I have received from my Father, and I have given to you. That's what, when he was lifted up, he says, all the authority has given to me, and I give it to you. Take this one and go and preach this gospel. Gospel of the kingdom to all the nations and bring them close to this. So it is our duty right now. It is our passion right now that we come close to God. We come face to face. Moses came face to face to God and he lead his people. Elijah came face to face God and he plead before God. Elijah and Moses were the same. Elijah represent the prophets and Moses represent the law. And then they have the similarity. Moses did the miracles. Elijah did the miracles. So they raised the dead. And that's what happened. When you do these things, God gave you the passion and the spirit. And in the New Testament, Jesus got that revelation that I'm going to die. The Bible says they were talking about his death. And Jesus got that revelation that I will going to die for my people, that I can bring them into the presence of the Lord. And the same thing happened in the continually in the New Testament. What happened was in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, that was the God came to Saul before he came to Paul. He became to Saul. Saul, in chapter number 9, he was connected with Paul. Why are you giving hard time to me? Why are you persecuting my people? So God changed Paul's heart, and he became a leader, a great leader that wrote 75% of the New Testament. And then John got the revelation, and he went into the Patmos, and where he got a revelation. The book of Revelation was given, open theory of God in heaven, what the heaven looked like. It's the great revelation that he got when he comes into the face-to-face with God. So it is our duty, church. This is our duty, folks. This is our duty, my brothers and sisters, that we can come face-to-face our Lord Jesus Christ and ask him, give me the revelation, because there are a lot of people dying around our neighborhood, dying around our around in our country, out of the country, out of there. Teach me and give me the courage and the wisdom and the power that I can receive the power from you. And the same power I will going to take to the other nations, to other people, to around my neighborhood, around my country, and around my city, I will going to preach the gospel. Wherever you lead me, O Lord, give me the power. I am coming to you, O Lord. Give me your presence. Give me your revelation. Give me your touch. God, touch Abraham. God, touch Moses. God, touch Elijah. And soon as his touch became into the reality, that they changed the world. And God touched his disciples. In the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the Bible says that Holy Spirit came and touched them. And they got the language. They got the power. They got everything. And they start making the difference. And they start doing what God requires for us. So this is our duty, church, today, that we can preach the gospel. We have to come before face-to-face God and ask his mercy. Not like disciple, we're going to make 3 temples over here and we're going to pray. He said, God said, listen to my son. What he says, do that. So what he said to us, go and preach and teach and baptize my people and bring them into the kingdom. May you have a wonderful day and God bless you.